Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. 134 in Edmonton. Just before we go to Kurt Hill, the president general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings, we were talking about the Goose Looney's incident involving the Detroit Red Wings, who on this date back in 1988 were eliminated by the Edmonton Oilers game 5 of the Campbell Conference Final. Craig Simpson scored the first two goals, Messier 5 points, 8-4 final score, and the Red Wings were out at Goose Looney's the night before the game. Story broke. Mark in St. Albert has texted the show, Bob, were you one of the bouncers that I fought and lost to at Goose Looney's? That one comes to us from Mark. Mark, technically I was never a bouncer, and I can guarantee you there's no chance you would have lost. You might have at least tied. I'll just leave it at that. You would have done okay. You would have been fine. All right, without further ado, his team had a wonderful season this year. Unfortunately, not a season in which a Memorial Cup was played for the second consecutive year. So to get a bit of a season recap on the Edmonton Oil Kings, we welcome back to the show Kurt Hill. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. How do you process, or perhaps more importantly for your players, how do they process a year in which they don't have a chance to play for a league championship or, for a national title, the Memorial Cup level as well?
Well, I think the thing with the players is they've had a long time to process it. They probably knew about halfway through the season that it was very unlikely they're going to be playoffs. And unfortunately, a lot of them went through this last year as well when our season got unexpectedly shut down. But at the end of the day, I think they processed it the right way. You know, it's a group that to win 20 of 23 games is pretty impressive. And, you know, they played it out right to the end. And we were pretty banged up those last four games of the year. And they just continued to find ways to win, which is a lot of credit to that group.
Do you have particular empathy for your 20-year-olds? Scott Atkinson, your captain, Ethan Kapp, a 20-year-old defenseman, had been with the Oil Kings for 5 years and watched the turnaround. I mean, all you need to do is look at Ethan's plus-minus, and you're number two at Edmonton. He was minus 36. He went plus 22, plus 15, and then plus 15 in 22 games this season. So do you have some empathy for the 20s that have their junior careers come to an end?
Yeah, you know, you do. And those guys were, again, exceptional people within our organization that had exceptional careers in the league. And, you know, I think the one positive for those guys is they at least got to play it out at the end in the sense of, you know, actually knowing when their last game was going to be and saying bye to the league the right way. Whereas last year, you know, the guys had no clue it was their last game of junior hockey and really got blindsided by the whole thing. So I think in that sense, it's a positive that these guys were able to have an idea that it was going to be their last game and have that proper send-off from their teammates.
We're joined by Kurt Hill, the general manager and president of the Edmonton Oil Kings. He's our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Kurt, I'm going to get you to put on your scout's hat because you were a scout for the Chicago Blackhawks with our prospect report for Scott Arthur Millwork and Cabinetry, a legacy of excellence. Make your new dream home or custom renovation a reality. Visit ScottArthurMillwork.com today. We'll start with Dylan Gunther, who you lost halafway through the season to the U18 team that got a gold medal for Canada, first one since 2013. Amazing how Canada does in that tournament when they can send most of their best players. But I digress. 12 goals, 24 points in 12 games for your team, plus 19. Consensus, probably top five pick. Some people had him as high as 2-3. Not sure he'd be super happy with his U18 performance. Give me your assessment on how special of a player, unique skill set this guy has, and why NHL organizations are intrigued by him.
Well, again, number one, I've always talked to guys, was his ability to shoot the puck. Again, it's his release is is one of the best releases in the entire league, one of the best releases we've seen in junior hockey come through. And his ability to get it off, and especially his ability to get it off quickly, is what makes that shot so special, and often beating goaltenders with that. And, you know, he's a very, from a shooting perspective, obviously he's elite, but his playmaking is something that really gets underestimated by teams. And again, when I say underestimated, it's the top five player in the draft, so it's still pretty good, but I don't think it gets as much credit as it should. And his commitment to playing at both ends of the rink, you know, that's really helps him drive his offensive numbers as well. He's not a guy that cheats. He plays the game the right way. And again, he's one of these guys that absolutely loves the game, puts in his extra work away from the rink and at the rink that he needs to really be a pro. And you know, he's already got that pro mindset in him. So he's going to be an exceptional player for somebody in the future.
You obviously watched the games of the U18 championship. He got overshadowed by Shane Wright, who's a 2022 draft eligible, and Connor Bedard, who's a 2023 draft eligible. Do you think that's those guys played center? Gunther's a right winger. Do you think that was a byproduct of kind of how he was deployed? Because by all reports, Dave Barr, who's an Edmonton native, lives here in town. Dave Barr was really happy with Gunther's two-way performance, but he didn't put up the same sort of offensive numbers that Wright and Bedard did.
Yeah, again, I think from that standpoint at the tournament, yeah, he didn't put up the numbers, but I guess at the same time, when you look at it, he's still over a point a game there. And, you know, I don't think he had his best at that tournament. So, maybe a little bit overshadowed in that sense. But, again, I think you can really see what kind of player you're getting. And when he got that opportunity to shoot the puck and be utilized on the power play on the flank, that's where he picked up some really good chances and scored a few nice goals. So, I think overall, yeah, probably not as happy as he'd like to be about his tournament, but still a pretty good showing for him, being over a point a game and being a big impact player on a very, very strong Canada team.
Where do you think he goes in the draft, realistically?
I think he's top five still. I just think it's with the shot and his ability to score, it's hard to find, and it's hard to pass up scoring. So I just don't see him sliding too much unless guys really thought his U18 tournament.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wasn't up to snuff, but you know, I still think it was a pretty good showing for him, and I still think the scoring is going to be something that teams are going to be looking for.
We're joined right now by Kurt Hill, the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. So Bob McKenzie, when he did a sampling of the scouts out there in the hockey business, had Gunther tied for number two overall. He had Sebastian Coase in the top 15. These are the numbers for the listeners on Coase: 17-1-1, a 1.57 goals against average, .941 save percentage. I saw you guys play eight games this season. Coase started seven of them. I can't. You know, Carey Price was off the charts. We know that. He's not as big as Coase. 6'6" goaltender that's athletic, that's got a little bit of Mike Smith's personality, a little bit of screw you in his personality. This guy's going to be a heck of a goaltender, isn't he?
Yeah, he truly is. I mean, the consistency is speaks for itself for this season. And, you know, I've been asked that question a lot. You know, was it just this season because we're only playing the division? Are the numbers inflated? But, you know, even when you look back to last season, he was pretty special and pretty exceptional for us. And that consistency hasn't gone away. I think, you know, even at the end of the season here when, you know, our team potentially didn't have much to play for. We already won the division. And, you know, that's when he played one of his best games, our last game of the year at Medicine Hat after a six-hour bus ride. So, you know, this guy's dialed in. He's, like you said, he's big, he's athletic, he's not holy, like pucks don't get through him when you see what some of the bigger goalies, and he's an extremely confident guy in the net. So somebody's getting a pretty established, confident goalie that, you know, as long as he's developed the right way, as we know with goaltenders, sometimes they can be rushed, but as long as an organization's willing to develop this guy the right way, I think he's going to be something special.
Do you, where do you see him going?
Yeah, well, that's hard. Obviously, it's the two goalies that are kind of, some guys got one of them going first. The other team's got the other guy. I'm referring to Wallstat there in Sweden. And, you know, I think it comes down to what guys' needs are going to be in the net. But I'd have to think from everything that I'm hearing from scouts and the conversations, they both are top 20 picks.
You have an excellent 1-2 punch. I mean, logic dictates Kosa is going to be at least with you for another season, possibly two. Between Kosa and Colby Knight, you're going to have a heck of a 1-2 punch next season, aren't you?
Yeah, they're both obviously with Kosa. I mean, he's a legitimate starter at this league and almost at the next level already. So he'll be back in the bulk of the load. And then, yeah, Colby Knight, we saw him in four games this year. He looked pretty solid for us. So a guy that looks like he's going to be able to be a backup in the league. And we also had our other third goalie here actually this year, Colby Hay, who we didn't put in any games, but he was here for development purposes. And he's another guy that's 6'4", a big goalie that's athletic again. So our pipeline of goaltending here in Edmonton right now is extremely strong. We're quite happy with where it's at, and our goalie coach Curtis Mooka keeps his tabs on these guys pretty closely throughout the summer and their training, and we're really happy with where our goaltending depth is.
Kurt Hill's the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings, who won the Central Division. They went 22-1. You're going to have several of your top forwards back. I mean, in my opinion, Gunther's footwork is going to maybe keep him, like, it's going to be a challenge for him to play in the NHL next year. It's going to be close, but I mean, he's got a shot to play in the NHL, but I think you're going to get him back. Jake Neighbors went plus 29, had 33 points in 19 games. Have you had any conversations with Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues? He was a first-round pick last year, about Jake next season.
You know, we haven't really discussed the point of him coming back next season, just with St. Louis still being obviously in the playoffs and finishing up their year. But I'm sure that's conversations we'll be having here in the off season to see what the thoughts are. But you know, with a lot of these guys, it's a 24 game condensed season. I mean, it's tough. You know, these guys, you know, they need the development time down at this level. And you know, but at the same time, we're an organization that is here to develop players to move on. And if those guys go to their respective NHL teams and earn themselves contracts, you can't help yourself but be happy for them to move on to the next level and have success.
You had a couple guys that are 2001s. Josh Williams had 17 goals, 30 points. You got him in a couple years ago to deal for Brent Kemp. I'm going to assume he's going to be one of your 20s next year. Carter Sutch had 27 points in 22 games. And then Jalen Lupin. So, I mean, if Neighbors, Williams, Lupin, and Sutch come back, you'd have five of your top six scorers back on the team, including Gunther. Cade Oliver, 20, would be done. I mean, you guys would have, you'd be pretty much set up front, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a pretty potent offensive group, that's for sure, with some of those guys that have taken the next step. Obviously, you know, Williams has really started to show that he's a proven scorer in the league. And when we made that trade, you know, it was his goal-scoring ability that we were really attracted to at that time. And Jalen Lupin, to say that I thought he was going to be able to score this well in his WHL career, I would be lying. But you know what? He put in the work last season, and his shot and his skating has just improved so much. And he's, you know, turned himself into a legitimate top six forward in the league. And you know, as you mentioned, there's obviously our secondary group there scores too. Carter Sutch has been pretty much a point of game player lately in the Western League. And yeah, just losing the one guy and having that potent of an offense up front, it's a pretty good group no matter what decisions we end up making.
All right, so Ethan Capps, a 20-year-old. Do you expect Matt Robertson back? He's New York Rangers second round pick. He's going to be a 20, you know, he's 20 next season. Usually those are guys that end up playing in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, he'll be in the American League next year. I think New York's already bringing him in there to train all summer, so all indications are that he might even have a swing at the big club, but likely in the American League next year.
Okay, so I know that Logan Dohaniak ended up having a pretty good offensive campaign, threw some big hits in the games that I saw as well, but could defense be an area you might target a little bit of help with the European draft and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's an area where we're going to have to improve, obviously, losing an offensive talent like Matthew Robertson and Ethan Kapp. You know, Ethan was just such a steady guy back on the back end and played big minutes for us, a lot of PK, you know, and he was extremely, in the sense, too, he didn't get injured ever, like, which was really nice. We've gone through a carousel of defensive injuries over the last 3 years, so he was a guy you could rely on in that area as well. But, at the end of the day, we're going to have to probably add through the Euro draft or look at some other options, but maybe to add another older guy back there just with that veteran savvy we're losing back there. But one flip side of that was this season and what it became, it was a development year, and we ended up having 13 rookies on our team, and those young guys, you know, they had the opportunity to come in here, and our coaches had a chance to work with them and really develop them. So the young D that we came and we kept this year, we were really happy with where they got to by the end of the season, and you know, the habits they created and their buy-in to what we do here as an Oil King organization. So I think, you know, this season really helped in the sense of turning the page from losing some of those big players that we are losing and getting ready for the future and our young core that's coming in.
You have two number one. When's the WHL Bantam draft?
The Bantam draft's been moved to December, so it's going to be first week of December. And then, so we're going to be watching midget hockey the first half of the year as long as we get in the rink, get in the buildings.
And you've got two number one picks, is that right?
We do, yeah. Yeah, so we have our own number one pick, which with the new lottery format, the lottery is going to be June 1, so the lottery format for this year is our first number one pick's going to end up being anywhere from, I mean, we have one ball with our first, with the Edmonton's pick, so we could go as high as 6, but it'll likely end up between 18 and 22, and then we have Kelowna's pick as well, and they're going to be in the second group of the lottery, so that pick really will have a chance to potentially win the lottery with that pick and could end up as low as 1 and could end up being as high as 17.
All right.
So anywhere from 1 to 17.
All right, and I think maybe where that lottery ends up may result in a potential trade at some point as well for a little bit more experience, maybe a 19-year-old defenseman.
Yeah, something we'll have to look at and evaluate as we go through. I mean, if depending on how high that pick gets, you know, it'd be tough to potentially move the Cologne one. But, you know, they're going to have to be in play. I mean, with depending what we get back next year, again, this is a group that, knows how to win. They've had an exceptional 2 seasons. And, we feel we have another shot at this next year to have a legitimate chance to try to go win. So everything will have to not be off the table at this point.
All right, Kurt, appreciate the availability all season long. Thank you for your time, and we'll touch base down the road.
Yeah, you bet, Bob. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. That is Kurt Hill. He is the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings. And again, they went 22-1. Cactus Jack has texted us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. He says, Bob, great segment with Mark Spector. Or shall we say it was all Drysdale and McDavid's fault in September of 2020. Throw out the bubble in May of 2021. That's Mark Spector. That's I get, guys are giving me shots too for patting myself on the back of Tyson Barrie. All I said is if Barrie ever came here, an offensive guy, with some of the other players, the Oilers could see some numbers. I did not think Tyson Barrie would lead NHL defensemen in scoring. He has a chance to do that. He's second. He's a point behind Adam Fox. And the guys Letang, Hedman, and Carlson are behind him, and their seasons are now over. Let's see what happens here. Carlson not playing tonight. There's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin, and Brent Ridgeford is a 10-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. It's open 6 days a week to serve you while following all COVID protocols to protect both customers and staff. Uncle Milt telling me the other day they need some used vehicle inventory, which makes now a perfect time to sell. Let the gang at Brent Ridge Ford lend a hand. You can reach them 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. Do want to tell you, Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Yes, indeed. We referenced the Goose Loonies incident in This Day in Oilers History today for Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel, the Oilers. Back on May the 11th, 1988, beat the Detroit Red Wings 8-4 to advance to the Stanley Cup Final against the Boston Bruins, which, by the way, many people took the Bruins that year to beat Edmonton in 88. Shouldn't have. Oilers took them out. But what happened was Edmonton had challenges winning in Boston, often on lengthy East Coast road trips back in the day throughout the 1980s. And people thought, you know, Calgary came ahead of Edmonton in the regular season. The Oilers swept the Bruins, swept Calgary. And really, they ultimately, technically, I guess, swept Boston as well. Of course, one day we'll get the real story on why the Knights, why the lights went out in Boston back in 1988. During game four. Did it have something to do with Whitey Bulger? Wow, Goose Loonies and Whitey Bulger on the same show. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at 6:30, Chad, for a little doubleheader action. We got an early start to the Oilers-Canadians matchup. That's a 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time puck drop, which means Oilers Now will emanate from the 6:30 Chad studios. Our broadcast studio will have Brian Lawton on from the NHL Network for Mattress Superstore, Dave Staples from the Cult of Hockey. We're going to squeeze in NHL insider John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight. What's he got shaking, Mr. Escott?
You will hear from Oilers forward Ryan McLeod, NHL on Rogers analyst Kelly Rudy, and Edmonton football team president and CEO Chris Presson.
All right. Up next, the global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by the 6:30 Chad afternoons with Jaylen Nye. Again, we'll be back at it tomorrow. Oh, hold on just a second. I just got it right now. It's got a my tease. It's not loading here on my cell phone. How does that happen, Brendan? What's going on here? Here it is. In a Facebook post, Alberta Justice Minister Casey Bedu has written what a COVID-19 disaster is. And what the provincial opposition, that would be the NDP, the federal government, the Liberals, and the media were looking for and wanting. Suffice to say, this hasn't gone very well with some of those groups. Are the ministers' comments dangerous and unprecedented, or just part of politics as usual? Dr. Melanie Thomas from the University of Calgary will join Jaylen and I to break it down coming up after global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back at you tomorrow. Have a terrific Tuesday, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.